All right, what's up, everyone? We're back for our Q&A episodes for the month of April. We have some great questions we're going to get to, and let's just dive right into this first one. I think this one's really good. So this is a little bit of a longer question, and I think it came via email, but I'll condense it down to essentially, is range of motion when you're working out, right? So is the range of motion when you're doing movements, should it be like a hard and fast, like these are the points of performance that you're trying to hit regardless, or should it be relative to the athlete? And to give a little bit more context, some of this was, you know, based on doing a weekend seminar and learning the med ball clean, and the specific athlete asking the question is a little bit on the older side, a little bit on the taller side. He gave us our height and weight. He's a big guy.
Yeah, he's a big dude. Yeah.
Was struggling to hit depth on that particular movement. So for anyone that isn't familiar, what we're talking about here is when you squat, the point of performance as it's taught by CrossFit is you want the hip to go below the knee. And this athlete was struggling to hit that depth and was being, you know, constantly pushed to like, all right, let's go legs further apart. Let's try and get down there, to the point where he was experiencing a fair amount of pain. So all that's the context. And I think, you know, the question I'm going to kick this to you, Jason, is should range of motion for an athlete that's training, working out, should it be relative to them? Or is it just, hey, this is what you need to hit for the movement to be done correctly versus incorrectly? And okay, maybe you're not there now, but that should constantly be what you're at least shooting for.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think CrossFit did a really good job of, and it's evolved over the years, of identifying ranges of motion to first for scoring purposes and to keep things fair. So if the, you know, really, let's talk about range of motion. I think the reason why it became such a big factor in the sport of CrossFit, or in CrossFit in general, is because of the sport. Meaning, like, you had to quantify, hey, full range of motion is fully locked out overhead with the bar in this particular position, and full range of motion on a squat is crease the hip below the knee joint. It had to be that way because you're trying to score an athletic competition and it needs to be a level playing field across the board. So that's why range of motion became so popular for that. But it also became popular because it is a nice way to incorporate the full expression of that particular joint. So there is definitely benefit in working through a range of motion for sure, in terms of, again, expressing it in its full range, taking that hip, going all the way down to that full range, taking those arms, getting fully locked out, and really kind of expressing that frontal plane position. However, if you can't hit those positions, I do think over time we've became a little bit too obsessed with hitting it, and we are coaching, cueing it just really aggressively because you're really trying to get athletes to a specific range of motion. And I think that that's fine as long as it's done enough. We need to just tone it down, you know, as a coach, and just allow them to work through the range of motion that they could get to for that particular day. If that means you widen their stance, you get them in a different position, you toe your feet out, whatever, and all of a sudden they're pain-free and they're getting a little bit more range, hell yeah. But if they're in a pain position, we just need to slow down, get them to wherever they could get for that particular day, and then move on. And I think that if you're an athlete listening, you're like, dude, I have a hard time with my range of motion of front rack position, for example, or locked out overhead. I get a really hard time with that. Well, I think that you need to expose yourself at light loads, no loads, foam rolling, deep tissue work, range of motion to eventually get to these ranges, if that's something that's important to you. Because one, if you want to compete in the sport of CrossFit, you need to be able to hit it. But two, it also just the full expression of that movement. So I guess this is a long-winded way of saying you want pain-free range of motion, you want full range of motion, but don't get too wrapped up in range of motion at the expense of like hurting yourself more. That's all I got.
Yeah, no, I think that hits the nail on the head in that like the aim should be full range of motion, because that's what makes, you know, a lot of these compound movements really powerful and, you know, effective at getting stronger, at getting fitter. Like, another thing that CrossFit did a great job at is this idea of moving large loads, you know, long distances. And you're not moving the load as long a distance if you're cutting the range of motion. Like, that's kind of the whole point. But to your point, you know, the idea of like, is your, like, if I were to like literally use a protractor on a video of you, and is your knee technically below your hip joint versus like maybe right at parallel, if the difference between those 2 degrees is pain or discomfort, right, like, just do what feels good, period. You know, like, this isn't, unless you are obviously trying to compete in the sport of CrossFit, I think we're splitting hairs when it comes to certain things, as long as you're not just cutting the rep short for the sake of cutting the rep short.
Yeah. I used to watch some people getting overhead and they'd punch out in front, right? And I used to watch them be like, dude, like that's terrible. Like that's insane and whatever. And I think that's just because it was ingrained in me in this idea, the finish position for a press is a very specific position. The challenge with that, man, is for a lot of people with tight shoulders to get an overhead position. I mean, your overhead position is even a little bit tight, isn't it?
My overhead position is not too bad. My front rack's really bad. My overhead position actually used to be like super, super good. Used to be one of my strongest lifts. Overhead squat was actually my strongest lift, but it's definitely still not bad, but it's not as good as it used to.
Yeah, it's just I guess my temperature, my tone on this has just evolved over the years. Where, 100%. Dude, if you want to get after it, man, just get after it. But if you do desire to compete in the CrossFit Games, you need to hit full range motion. That's just the way it goes because you're trying to compete against other people. But if you're not trying to compete against them, be like, do you and do the best you can and try and hit those full ranges for A, work capacity, but B, also to work the full range of that motion. You know, if you're doing pushups, you want to work the full range of that, not halfway up. And if you can't perform it, let's, you know, get you down to your knees or let's do something different until you can. But when you're overhead, you know, what isn't good is in particular overhead, overarching the back to hit a specific position. I'd probably rather see you just, even if you have to press out in front a little bit, so you don't overarch the back. Cause that's where I've seen some people get messed up is they overarch the back to try and get in that full range and they don't have the shoulder capacity to do so. So it's definitely a mobility question. I would encourage people to start with PVC pipes, light loads, and really work the ranges if that's a desire of theirs. Otherwise, just train hard and you'll be perfectly fine.
And the other piece that I think is worth adding to this before we kind of wrap up this question is moving through a quote unquote full range of motion serves a purpose, but there's very effective ways to move through partial ranges of motion that are super important. So if you follow Flex on the Train Hard app, one of the things that I love, you probably hate them if you follow it, but no lockout squats is something that I absolutely love. And if you were to take that into the CrossFit world and watch somebody do that, you'd be like, hey, no rep, like, you know, like take your belt buckle, point it to the wall, like try and cue them to stand all the way up. The reason that I programmed these squats and the cycle we're actually in April, we're doing it with a back squat, which has been especially brutal before we've only done goblet squats, is to keep tension on your quads the entire set. Right. Like you actually get a little reprieve when you stand all the way up. The quads get like a slight second break. And once you don't have that break, you realize how nice it is to get that break. So that is an example of not going to full range of motion, actually serving a purpose. And then there's also some bicep stuff that I'm programming. This is like some old school Arnold stuff, but like the 21s on the bicep curls, where you go half rep to the top and then seven full reps. Like again, you're doing seven reps where you're targeting the stretch portion of the lift, seven reps where you're targeting the like most concentric squeeze portion of the lifts, and then seven like full reps, which when you're talking about hypertrophy and building muscle, there's a purpose to doing that. And then the last example I'll give you is 1.25 reps, which I've programmed on the dumbbell bench. So again, you're literally going into the full stretch of the dumbbell bench press. You're coming up just a quarter of the way, going back down and then doing the full rep. Again, you would say maybe that's a no rep, but there's a purpose there. Like there's a purpose to spending double the amount of time every rep in like the ultimate stretch of the chest muscle, because you're trying to, you know, really work that part of the range of motion, which tends to be good for putting on muscle. So anyway, just wanted to give a few examples where not going to range of motion is actually very useful if you're not specifically training for the sport of CrossFit or, you know, just for moving a heavy load long distances. There's a purpose to doing half reps and partial reps that I particularly really
love. A good way to look at those like not standing up all the way squats is like imagine like on a C2 bike. I think about this or any bike. If you're on any bike and you're trying to go up a hill, let's just say like a real bike, maybe or whatever, name the bike. And you put the seat super low, not super, super low, but super low, you know? And dude, you don't get that reprieve where your leg almost reaches like overextension, like kind of like right there. And your quad is just burning the whole time. It's the same idea as like these squats where you don't stand up all the way. You don't get a chance to kind of relieve the quad and kind of switch over to hamstring or glute or whatever else you're hitting. So yeah, dude, I think that's a really good point to make, is that range of motion is relative, right? If you, there are times where you do want to hit a different range of motion by the desired stimulus you're looking for. But if it's in regards to like, what is full range of motion? I think the key is, again, pain-free range of motion is number one. Work to get to different ranges. Like for example, a full range squat, like being able to just to sit in a squat and have a conversation with someone, that's a really good skill set to have. It's a nice way to keep your hips, your ankles in a like nice mobile position, but it's hard to get down there. So if you haven't done that, start with like 2 to 3 minutes a day. They call it the squat test. Kelly Starrett created it. It was originally 10 minutes a day where you just hold a squat, full range of motion for 10 minutes, whatever you could get to pain-free. I'd start off with 2 to 3 minutes and then go from there. Keep building on that.
Yeah. And if you're doing that, it'll be pain-free, but it won't be discomfort-free. It gets super uncomfortable. So I think there's a difference there, but yeah, great question. You know, I think being pain-free, feeling good is kind of the key takeaway there, but we'll catch you guys on the next Q&A episode here in the month of April. Got anything else, Jay?
Hey, if you want to submit your questions, how do they do that, Gabe?
If you want to submit the questions, Jason has been really good about posting a question sticker on Instagram kind of right before we record these. So just keep an eye on social media, but we're always looking out for questions that come in via email. So if you're not signed up for our email newsletter, there's a link in the show notes. Make sure you sign up for that. And then you can reply to any emails with a question. Obviously, you can reply with feedback, comments. Jason gets back to all of those. But we also look out for questions in emails. But yeah, we'll catch you on the next one.
Let's do it.